Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Gentlemen, let me know when you can see me, when you can hear me. Let me get my chat going. Oh, I should have put the chat on my computer. Oh, well, we'll be reading the chat from the phone. Hopefully it sounds clear. I just last minute put a new mic up because my phone mic was cutting out for some reason. So I just put a new mic up, but let me know if you can see me and hear me. 6 minutes late. Yes, we don't do an intro, so we're always a couple minutes late. We have no podcast tonight because our guest, we moved around. Our guest wasn't able to do it, and so we're moving them for the next 2 weeks. But I'm going to do a Q&A, hang out with you guys, pray with you guys, and just chat here, very casual. I have a hard time doing these because there's nothing prepared. I'm just going to be answering raw questions. Nothing is off limits. Any hard questions you have, ask me. But I thought it'd be fun to jump on here and do a Q&A with you guys. So the chat is up, which I should have put it on my screen here. Let me see if I can do this really quick. I guess I could. Do I have it saved? Yes, I do. Look at that. We are live.
Yes, I do.
Let's see. Does that sound okay?
Look at that. We are.
Oh, the mic sounds pretty good. Yeah, this new mic sounds pretty good. Let me do pop out here, pop out chat, just to make sure that we have the chat going here and everything's smooth. Oops, don't do that. All right, there we go. We're starting off strong. We're starting off strong. Lots of questions coming in. Okay, first question is, how do you hear God's voice? All right, a couple things about hearing the voice of God, and then I'm just gonna answer the questions and go to the next one that I see on chat. So if you wanna wait till I'm done answering before you ask, couple things. I think a lot of reasons why we don't hear the voice of God is there's too many other noises in our life. So I'd highly encourage you to turn down the noise. By that, I mean the social media, the Instagram, the Facebook, the YouTube, the TikTok, the Hulu, the friends, the family, all the other voices speaking to us, all the other things demanding our attention, all the other options that we have in our lives. It's hard to hear the voice of God. The Bible says that His voice is like a still small whisper. And oftentimes when we're very busy listening to all the other voices, we have a hard time hearing the small whisper. The other thing is, are you getting alone in the secret place? So the best place to hear the voice of God is getting alone with Him, shutting the door, as Jesus said, turning everything off and getting into the secret place. If you're not doing that, you might have a hard time hearing from Him. Okay, one more tip. Distance. The farther you get away from God, the harder it is to hear the still small whisper. So if you feel like God is far off, I'm gonna tell you why. The Bible says that our sin separates us from God. So the more sin we have in our life, the more distance between us and God. In fact, there's many scriptures where the Bible, God says, I don't even hear your prayers. Your sin, your iniquity has cut you off from me. So that's another thing to think about. There's a lot of sin in our life. We might struggle because we're distant from God and He's whispering. And how many of you know if you're far away and somebody whispers, you might have a hard time hearing them. So getting alone with God, turning off all the other voices, and getting rid of the compromise in our life. And then you'll be able to hear the voice of God. And a lot of times what I found is, I've asked God, Lord, speak to me. And God's like, Isaiah, why do you want me to speak? What do you want me to say? And sometimes, so let me know if this is you in the chat, we're asking God to speak because we want Him to prove Himself that He's real because we don't have faith that He is real. So I'm like, Lord, speak to me so that I know You're real, even though I should be walking by faith, not by feelings, and not by sight. So that could be something to think about. All right. You're full of courage and wisdom. Thank you. All right. What else? What are the most important things to do in a season of waiting? Continue to do the spiritual practices the Bible teaches you to do, even if you don't feel like it. So if you're in a waiting season right now, continue the spiritual disciplines every single day. When we're waiting, oftentimes we lose the fire, we lose the passion, and we lose our desire to pray, to read, to fast, to share our faith. And so oftentimes our faith is not tested, I always say this, on the operating table, it's tested in the waiting room. So that's the hardest time. It's not when God's moving and operating on us and doing things in our life, it's when we're waiting for God. So we have to learn to praise in the waiting room, all right? We have to learn to shout in the waiting room. We have to learn to be excited. A lot of us only praise when the door is open. Learn to praise in the hallway. Learn to praise before the door opens. Learn to pray in the waiting season as some of you are in right now. I've been in a season of waiting many, many times. And in that time of waiting, like for example, before I even went into online and I was just traveling, preaching for a decade, and I was praying, Lord, I don't want to travel anymore. I want to be home with my wife and kids. What am I going to do? And I was waiting and waiting and waiting for years for God to release me from the nonstop traveling. And then he finally did. But I waited for a long time to the Lord to transition me. And I felt like, you know, I was on the same path for a decade of pastoring and traveling. And then in 2019, the Lord redirected me and my waiting was over. And he said, Isaiah, no more traveling. You're going to be traveling only once a month around, and then you'll be doing online. So yeah, that's that. Waiting is discipline. All right. Do you think the Star of David is an occult symbol? No, I don't think so. How's the best way to fast? Or shall I say, what's the easiest way to fast? Well, there's no easy way to fast, but I would recommend starting small. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. And here's the thing, all right? When it comes to fasting, I would just highly recommend if you start, I wear a size small hoodie, by the way. Okay. If you start fasting and you start with like drinking Jamba Juice every day or drinking milkshakes, or you start like, eating soup or whatever, and you start your fasting journey with compromising and eating high calorie shakes, you're gonna struggle to fast biblically. I would highly recommend, even though starting fasting, start with water only. If you start with water only and get used to just doing water, which is the biblical way to fast, you're gonna be better off than if you try to do, you know, whatever, you try to do like milkshakes and stuff like that in the beginning because it's easier. There's no easy way to fast. The point of fasting is to tear your body, is to crucify your body, crucify your flesh. And Paul even said, like, I stay up all night just to beat my body into subjection. So there's something about purposely beating up your own physical body to strengthen your spirit. So that's really, fasting actually isn't supposed to be easy. If it's easy, you're probably not doing it right. So yeah, I would do only water, and that's for fasting. All right. Okay, lots of questions coming on. Am I flat earth, firmament, flat earth, around earth? I believe in a round earth. I do not believe in a flat earth. Okay. Any advice for somebody struggling with video game addiction? I would say stay busy with doing things for God or picking up another hobby. So if you're struggling because you're bored, that's probably why you're struggling with video game addiction. Start a healthier hobby. Video games are primarily not healthy for hours and hours. There is some brain stimulation if you're playing video games like 30 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day or an hour. And in moderation as a hobby, that's one thing. But when you're addicted and it's becoming an idol, try to replace that unhealthy idol or unhealthy hobby with something healthy. So I know it's like, you're not gonna pray 8 hours a day instead of playing video games, but you can go volunteer at the church, you can help at a homeless shelter, you can pick up a sport, you can pick up an outdoor hobby, you can start running, you can start going to the gym, doing things that are healthy for your spirit and healthier for your body than just sitting around playing video games. It's not healthy for you to just sit around and look at a screen and play video games all day. How do you speak in tongues? Well, there's two types of tongues. There's speaking in tongues with an interpretation, and there's praying in tongues. So the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, there's a speaking with an interpretation. That's a gift that happens. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. And then there is praying in the Spirit. I firmly believe that every believer that has the Holy Spirit has access to praying in the Spirit. And that's in 1 Corinthians, and I don't have a bunch of notes up in front of me, but I believe it's 14. The first few verses talks about when you pray in tongues or speak in a tongue, no one understands you. It's only you and God, and you yourself are being edified. So that's the praying in tongues. The gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12 is different kinds of tongues. So there's not just one type of tongue. There's different types of tongues. And if you guys are asking a question, if you can, put a Q, capital Q, and then your question, even maybe tag me. But it would help because there's so many comments coming in of just people talking, and it would really, really help. But yeah, those are the different types of tongues, is praying and speaking. And you can ask for the Lord to give you the prayer language and speak it out by faith if you have the Holy Spirit. And then there's also the speaking in tongues. And then the Bible says, if you speak in a tongue, pray that you would interpret the tongue. So there's an interpretation of tongues as well. All right. How do you know you're being led by the Holy Spirit in the Word? Well, I mean, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word of God. You don't have to be led by the Spirit in the Word. Just whatever you read, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself or reveal it to you, reveal revelation to you in Scripture. So you can just read, let the Holy Spirit make it come, allow the Holy Spirit to make it come alive. Ask the Lord to speak to you before you read. I would highly recommend, as you guys are reading the Bible, ask the Lord to speak to you before you read. Yeah, don't just open it and just start reading. Ask the Lord to help you when you start reading that, when you start reading. Are you going competitive in pickleball? I mean, I'm pretty competitive. I'm playing in like a weekly league and I'm pretty serious about it. So yeah, I'm not like trying to go pro or anything. I'm not quitting my day job and starting pickleball full time, but I enjoy it. It's fun. It's a good hobby. I only do one hobby at a time. So healthy, it's getting me good cardio. It's getting me outside and it's just really good cardio. It's really, really healthy. So, and it's fun. All right. How do you know if your family member saved? I mean, you could look at their fruit, but at the end of the day, we can't say who's saved and who's not saved. That's something the Holy Spirit decides. All right. How to get rid of anxiety and fear about the future? I'm going to help you, Miranda, right now. Are you ready? This comes directly from Jesus. If you have anxiety of the future, stress of the future, here's the tip Jesus gives. Worry about today. Worry about today only. He says, for today has enough worries of itself. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. So if you're struggling with the fear of the future, the best thing you can do is you're not going to know your future, but you can get to know the one that knows your future. And if you realize that you're in the hand of God, here's what I always think, right? I'm on the narrow road. As long as I'm living on the narrow road, thank you guys for tagging me as well in the questions. As long as I'm living on the narrow road, pursuing God, seeking God, and praying, and fasting, and reading, doing what he says to do, being holy, then I don't have to stress about the future. Wherever the Lord takes me, I'm in the river, y'all. So when you're in the river takes you. I'm not trying to be ankle deep, waist deep. I'm all in. I'm all in with the river and I'm letting the river take me where it wants to take me. And that's the move of the Holy Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit is the river of God and it'll take you where it wants you to go. So you don't have to stress. That's one of the beautiful things of being a Christian. Hi, Angela. Thanks for being here. Is you don't have to stress anymore. The Holy Spirit will take you where he wants to take you. And I don't even stress about my future at all. Like literally, I don't stress about the future. I just go, all right, Lord, wherever you want to take me, I trust you. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm in your word. I'm on the narrow road. My job is to stay on the narrow road. And wherever that road takes me, I trust the Lord. So, man, when I got saved, I used to be so stressed about, oh, when am I going to do this when I'm 30, when I'm 40 and all that. It's so beautiful not to have to stress about the future and just let the Lord lead you and guide you. It's amazing. Should you speak in tongues in church? It depends. If you're in front of the congregation preaching a message in tongues, Paul says you need to have an interpreter. So if you're speaking a sermon in tongues, let me say it that way for you guys to understand, you need to have an interpreter. But if you're just praying in tongues, I don't see nothing wrong with it in church because Paul wasn't talking about praying. He was talking about speaking a message. So they're going to think you're crazy if you're speaking a message and they're not going to, you know, understand you without an interpreter. So yeah, you need to have an interpreter if you're speaking a message. Is masturbation a sin? Yes. That was a famous preacher I did a video on. You can find it if you search my channel. I won't mention his name. Who said it's okay to masturbate as long as it's to your wife and all that. That's wrong. It is a sin. It's stirring up lustful desires in you. And you're not necessarily in control of your brain the whole time while you're doing sexual acts like that. It opens you up to spirit of perversion. So it's definitely, in my opinion, a sin. Should an ex, P-E-D-O, I can't say that word, I'll get banned, be allowed to be around children or a pastor? No. No. I don't think so. I think if you have a background of doing that, then you should not be, unless there's some dramatic deliverance, maybe, but I personally would never allow someone who is an ex-PEDO to be a pastor. I would never be at a church where the pastor was an ex that, or around children, or around my children. 0% chance my child's gonna be around that, all right? God will forgive you though, you can still go to heaven, but how many of you know there's consequences? If you do those things, there's consequences, and one of the consequences, you can't be a pastor. One of the consequences, you can't be around kids. So, yeah. What do you believe about once saved, always saved? I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe if you're truly saved, you'll just continue to serve the Lord. But if you're a Christian and truly saved, I do believe you can backslide. You can apostate. You can turn from God. You can serve idols. You can rebel. You can be cut off the branch. You can have your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be thrown into the fire. So, yeah, this once saved, always saved hyper grace, I call it the doctrine of demons. I do not believe it's true. And I think, personally, that many, many, many people are going to be going to hell that thought they were going to heaven because they got taught once saved, always saved, and they weren't truly saved. They thought they were saved, but they weren't truly saved. So I do not believe in once saved, always saved. Absolutely false. Do you believe tattoos are a sin? I don't believe tattoos are in and of themselves a sin, but I will say, for me, tattoos are a sin. So Paul, and I'm not going to give you guys a bunch of deep theological and scriptures and all that. I know there's like 1,000 questions that have already come in. I'm just going them as I go. I can't get all the questions, obviously, so I'm just looking at a new one whenever I'm done with the one that I was on. Here's the thing about tattoos. Paul says there's some sins that are permissible and some sins that aren't. So if it's sin, if it's convicting to you, right, if God's told you it's sin for you, it might not be sin for someone else. So just because tattoos are a sin for me, it might not be a sin for you. And I'll tell you why. The Lord told me not to get tattoos. So the Holy Spirit clearly revealed to me, do not get tattoos as a preacher. There will be people that don't listen to you, and you will be a stumbling block to other people if you get tattoos. He told me that personally. I'm not saying that that's you. I'm just saying that's what the Lord told me. So if I get tattoos, I will be sinning against God and sinning against my own body because the Lord told me not to. So Paul says, for me it's sin, but for you it might not be sin. Now there is stuff in the Old Testament about marking the dead, marking bodies, and there's occultism in the Old Testament, but we don't see in the New Testament tattoos prohibited in that sense. But if it is convicting to you and you feel like you're gonna make people stumble, it is a sin. Paul said, if eating meat causes men to stumble, I won't eat meat ever again. So yeah, for me, it's a sin. And I just look at like, okay, my body's a temple. And if I got a nice church, right? I built a brand new church. I'm not gonna graffiti the church. So my body's a temple. I don't want to, you know, like mark up the temple. I don't wanna mark up the temple. All right, let's see. All right, hold on. Why is my chat frozen here? Hold on. What's going on? No, I don't want to do that. Okay, here we go. All right, lots of questions coming in. Is smoking marijuana a sin? Yes. You're coming under the influence. The only influence we want to be under is the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you, well, you rebuttal saying, well, why would God make a plant then tell me that I can't partake of it? Well, first of all, do you smoke poison ivy? God didn't say smoke it just because he made it. Second of all, the first thing God ever said in the Bible was don't eat from a plant that he made. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So yeah, it's wrong. It puts you under an influence. And we should be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not under the influence of marijuana or a drug or anything like that. And the world knows that. People in the world that are successful businessmen are like, I don't drink, I don't smoke. How is it that the church is so confused about it? We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're ambassadors. Like, yeah, Angela just did a 2-hour podcast on weed. Go watch her channel, Heaven and Healing Podcast. Go check it out. It's just crazy, guys. It's new age. It's demonic. It's used in a lot of occult practices. Puts you under the influence. And I just don't know any on-fire believers that smoke weed. And I feel the same about drinking alcohol. Why would I want to come under the influence of something? Why would I want to be under the influence or drunk? We shouldn't be. The Bible says you're a king, a priest, you're holy. You're righteous. What do you need? Why are you running to alcohol? What is God not giving you? And by the way, like the stream so we can reach more people. But what is God not doing in you that makes you have to run to alcohol and marijuana to get high? I want to be high on the Most High. I don't want to be high on marijuana or anything like that. All right. And sorry, guys. It takes me time to read some of these questions. Should all Christians have the gift of healing and other gifts? Yes. Yes. All Christians should have spiritual gifts. All Christians do. The Bible says we all have a gift, and I have a whole video on spiritual gifts. But yeah, we're all gifted. We all have the Spirit that distributes all the gifts. Really quick, think of gifts, spiritual gifts, as dramatic manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we all can walk in the Holy Spirit, walk in His power, and if you need the gift of healing, that can manifest. And guys, yeah, don't spam the chat. Just wait for me to finish the question and then type your next question. I know it's chaotic, guys. We're doing an Ask Me Anything. I'm just getting what I can. There's no other nice way to do this. But yeah, so I would say we all should pursue gifts. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians, that we all should pursue spiritual gifts, and we all should walk in them and can walk in them. The only thing stopping a lot of us from walking in spiritual gifts is unbelief. Unbelief will drown out your spiritual gift. It'll throw water on your spiritual gift. You should be fanning the flame and pursuing spiritual gifts. Okay, how do we step in the prophetic? Great question. Prophecy, in the simplest terms, is speaking words from God. That's all prophecy is, speaking words from God. It's edification, it's exhortation, it's building up, it's encouraging. It's New Testament prophecy. So if the Lord has a word for you to give to somebody, just speak it out. Now, for a lot of you, this might help. When it comes to prophecy, the way I get prophetic words is one sentence at a time. So maybe you're waiting for an elaborate word. For me, the gift of prophecy is, and I prophesy over people all the time when I'm traveling and praying for people. For me, the prophecy is like the Lord will give me one word of knowledge or one word of wisdom or just a word of prophecy for them and encouragement. The moment I release that sentence, then the Lord will give me more and the next one. And as I'm speaking, the Lord's giving me more of His word for them. And then when I feel like the Lord's not speaking, I shut my mouth and I say, hey, did that make sense? Did that line up with anything? So yeah, I would say for prophecy, you want to just start small and just give the word. Don't wait for this elaborate word, one sentence at a time. It might be simple. It might be simple and just be like, the Lord loves you. The Lord hears your prayers. God wants to encourage you and let you know that he's listening to your prayers for your son or daughter. It doesn't have to always be elaborate and future telling, not in the New Testament. That's Old Testament prophecy. New Testament could be foretelling, future telling, but usually it's encouragement, exhortation, and to build people up, all right? Okay, what new books have you read? It's okay if you're still just reading the Bible. I don't read a lot of books, to be honest. I'm pretty locked in with the Bible. You know, I've read like friends of mine books that they send me. I read through those. I've read like the Jonathan Cahn Harbinger books, Leonard Ravenhill, most his books, David Wilkerson. I've read some of his books. I've read a couple David Platt books. I've read like When Pigs Move In by Don Dickerman, Pagani's book on deliverance, Secrets to Deliverance. I've read Derek Prince's books on deliverance. I've read Frank Hammond's books on deliverance. A lot of books, deliverance books I read. But yeah, I don't read a ton of books, to be honest with you. Maybe it's my attention span I need to work on. I don't know. But I don't read a lot of books. Do you speak Spanish? Unfortunately, no. But I just told my wife this week I need to learn. I say it all the time. I do need to learn. I'm half Hispanic. My dad's probably watching this. I love you, Dad. He's 100%. He doesn't speak Spanish. So yeah, we don't really have a lot of Spanish speaking here, but I need to learn. I need to learn. All right, Isaiah, why can't I war against principalities? If we're full of the Holy Spirit, how can I make sure I'm not accidentally stepping into that when doing deliverance on somebody? Principalities are demons that reign over territories and regions. And in the Bible, we see angels fighting principalities, specifically in Daniel chapter 10. It wasn't Daniel's job. In the New Testament, we don't see Paul or any of the disciples binding principalities. So I would leave that to the angels to fight. So if you want to try to bind a principality, I would ask the Father, Lord, send your angels to war against the principalities. But I wouldn't try to go and like astral project, go into the heavenly realms. They're really not in the realm that we're fighting in the sense that we are called, very simple, we are called to do deliverance on people, okay? Now, a principality could live in a person. I've encountered that before, but ideally and usually they live in the second heaven in the heavenly realms. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the air. So they live in a heavenly dimension in the sky somewhere. In the spiritual realm, in the heavenly realm, the Bible says, and they control regions, territories, and really, they're controlling lower-ranking demons, okay? So they're calling the shots. They're the supervisors, in a sense, and there's rulers of darkness, hosts of wickedness, spiritual powers. There's different levels and rankings, like a military and army, lieutenants, generals, sergeants, all of that is in Satan's kingdom. Jesus did say Satan has a kingdom, and it's an organized kingdom. So a principality might tell a spirit of murder, okay, to go into someone because they opened a door. And so the principality tells that spirit of murder to go into somebody, and it's now, you know, governing over that spirit in the person. So that's when you cast a spirit out, you cancel its assignment, and it basically failed. And I tell demons all the time, you failed your assignment. It's because they are assigned by higher ranking demons to do specific things. Okay, but my job is not to try to go into the heavenly realms and bind the principalities and powers. My job is to cast demons out of people because that's what I was commissioned to do. The disciples were not commissioned to bind principalities. Disciples were not commissioned to go out into the heavenlies and bind this and that and try to go up in the spirit. The disciples were commissioned to cast out demons, so that's what we're commissioned to do. And by casting out demons, we're weakening the principalities who are governing people. So if a principality is in control of, let's say, 50 demons and 50 different people in a neighborhood, the more deliverance I do on those people, the less power the principality has because he's governing those lower ranking demons. All right. So there's that. Man, we got a lot of questions coming in. My chat cannot keep up. All right. Okay. Let's see. Let's see some good ones. Are you part of the NAR movement? Is it biblical for people to go to the title apostle prophecy in modern times? I'm not a part of the NAR movement. I don't even believe there is a real NAR movement. But the New Apostolic Reformation, no, I'm not a part of it. And I don't think it's wrong to be titled as a prophet or an apostle, because we all know these are not the original prophets or apostles. But the Ephesians 4:11 talks about the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. And it does not say those were yesterday. Those are still in effect, and they're gifts to the church. So I do believe they're real. I personally don't go by a title of a like pastor or prophet. I would probably fall into the, if I did say like, what one am I? If I was one, it would probably be the office of the prophet who speaks forth a prophetic edge and speaks forth the word of the Lord. But I don't really go by titles or have people call me like prophet or apostle or pastor or anything like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I just personally not really into it personally, but I could be wrong. I just am, that's where I'm at, but I don't think it's wrong. And I think it is biblical, and I think it is New Testament. So, yeah. And I forgot to put the chat on slow mode. That's my fault. I should have done that, which, yeah, I'm not going to open it up and do it now. Okay. Are all mental disorders demons? Not all of them, but a lot of them are. So I'll say it that way. Not everything is, but there's a problem when now you go to the doctor and they just throw medication at you. You don't have to do any tests. They don't have to scan you, check you. They just throw medication at you. I think there's a big problem with that. So yeah, in that sense, I would say be very careful when it comes to all the medications and stuff. People say like, I don't know, am I schizophrenic? Am I not? Well, if you're hearing voices, that's to me a demon. I'm adjusting my volume here. I wouldn't just label that schizophrenia. I would say that's a demonic spirit. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I know people push back on me, but I've seen a lot of people who are mentally ill get delivered and they're no longer mentally ill. And demons work in the realm of the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotion. So demons oftentimes work in the mind and control the mind. And so if a demon's controlling my mind, working in my mind, giving me thoughts, giving me desires, speaking to me, I'll probably think it's a mental disorder. So like doctors have books of thousands of mental disorders. A lot of them, they're just naming demons. Personally, I think a lot of these things are just names of demons. A doctor's not going to tell you to get deliverance. A doctor's not going to tell you to go to a deliverance minister. They're just going to say you have a mental illness, take medication. So there's that. Is it a sin to use condoms? No, I don't think so. I do not think it's a sin to use condoms. All right. Dealing with witchcraft attacks as a Christian? I mean, if you're under the blood of Jesus and protected and have the armor of God on, you shouldn't be getting attacked by witchcraft. You're protected, you're covered. It's like Balaam and Balak, like how could I curse what God has blessed? So you're under the blessing of God if you're in his covering. If you're in sin and opening the door, yeah, you can come under attack. Can hair loss be a demon? Absolutely. Absolutely. Many sicknesses can be a demon. Luke 13, there's a spirit of infirmity, and hair loss can be linked to demonic stuff. You can definitely have a spirit of infirmity and it can be linked to hair loss. Man, it is so hot in here, but I can't turn on my AC because it's too loud. All right. As a devout Christian, what happens if you make a mistake and sin and then die in that sin? Are you on your way to hell? Sammy, that's a really good question that I don't think anybody knows the for sure answer to. I'll say this. If you're walking in the grace of God, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit and you have a relationship with Christ, okay? We don't get to heaven based on our works. We get to heaven based on what Christ did on the cross and staying in that relationship with him. Now, I don't think you can just say, I believe you die on the cross and then live in sin and do whatever you want, still go to heaven. I don't believe that. So I think that if you are serving the Lord and have a genuine relationship and then commit some sin one time, okay, you're not practicing it because the Bible says if you practice sin, you're a son of the devil. So you're not practicing it, but you're walking in it. I mean, and you just fall into it or you do it one time and then die. I personally can't imagine God saying, yeah, you sinned one time and you lived your life for me, but now go to hell. Not to say that he won't. I just personally don't think that's the way it works. I think people that go to hell are people that have rejected Christ, don't have a relationship with him, don't know him, and aren't covered in his blood. So those are the people I believe that go to hell. And I think if you have a relationship with him, you know him, and you're doing your best to serve him, and you're walking what he said to walk in his word, there's no excuse why you can't do it. You've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. I think that you could, if you sin one time, you're not going to go to hell on that sin, you know, on your deathbed. So that's my take on it. All right, let's see. My longest relationship girlfriend stopped praying with me on calls. We used to pray before sleep, but she's always too sleepy now. What should I do? You should start praying with her before bed. I mean, sorry. You should start praying with her when it's not nighttime. If your long distance girlfriend's falling asleep, and I'm not trying to be rude about it, but falling asleep at night when you guys are praying, you're praying too late. Okay, start praying in the day together, start praying in the morning together, start studying the word of God long distance when it's not nighttime. It's pretty normal at the end of the night to be tired and wanting to fall asleep. So yeah, just pray earlier in the day. All right. Do demons punish each other? I don't know. Yeah, I do believe they do. I was gonna say, I'm thinking of something else. I do think they punish each other, and I think demons get punished. And I've had demons say, please no, I'm gonna get in trouble. No, don't cancel my assignment. I think when demons fail their assignment, they get in trouble somehow. They get punished somehow. And yes, I do believe there's demons in hell being tormented by other demons. And one day they're all gonna be in the lake of fire being tormented. But yeah, I do believe demons get punished and in trouble. I mean, we're talking about the devil here. Is the devil nice? No. Is the devil kind? No. So yeah, the demons do, I believe, torture and torment each other as well. All right. How to deal with sudden loss, grief, and guilt from not praying enough for them? somebody passed away and you didn't pray enough for them. Michelle, it's not your fault. You can't live with what happened yesterday. Just, you got to go forward. You know, I have friends that have passed away that I was like, man, if I could only witness to them. You can't live your life like that. You can't live your life being, blaming yourself for somebody not hearing the gospel through you. All you can do is say, this is a wake up call. I need to be more vigilant to sharing my faith so this doesn't happen again. But you really can't live your life going like, somebody passed away, I should have shared my faith with them, because it's just not a good way to live. So yeah, I would just, the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted, Michelle. You know, ask him for his peace, give him your burdens, and draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. What's your favorite parable from the Bible? I don't know. My favorite parable? I don't know. I don't know my favorite parable. I don't know that I can say offhand. Where do demons go after they're cast out? Into the abyss, May. We command them to go into the pit or the abyss. There's one place in scripture in the book of Mark where the demon says, don't send me to the abyss. Don't send me to the pit. So I kind of conclude that if the demons don't want to go there, that's probably a good place to send them. We're not given explicit detail in scripture on where to send demons. So it's kind of like, Jesus sent them into the pig one time, but I don't think it's a practice we should make of sending them. I don't think you should be sending demons into like your neighbor's cats or dogs or the horses next door. So I would say send them into the abyss or the pit. They're the same place. I have a whole teaching on this in my deliverance training playlist where I break down what is the pit, what is the abyss. They're the same. They're a holding place for demons before judgment. And I believe that's the greatest place to send them because it's where they don't want to go. All right. Does living in sin hinder healing? And thank you guys for tagging me. It really does help to highlight because the chat is coming hundreds of comments at a time. Yeah, I believe sin can hinder your healing. I believe sin can hinder your healing. I believe sin can hinder your deliverance. I believe sin can hinder your prayers. Well, I don't just believe it. I know it because the Bible says it. I believe sin can separate you from God because the Bible says it. Sin has a lot of negative consequences in our lives. So yeah, absolutely. I think that it could block your healing or your healing from taking place. What does the Bible say about cremation? In the Old Testament, the pagans cremated their dead. So there is a lot of Christians that are against cremation because it's something that the pagans did in the Old Testament. I don't think that there is any, the scripture against it in the New Covenant. Here's the thing, guys. In the Old Testament, they did things much different, okay? So we could say they cremated their dead, but they also did a bunch of other things. I'll say this. When you die, your body is meaningless. Dust it came from, dust it goes back. I personally don't think it matters what happens to your body once you die because you're no longer there. You're in heaven or you're in hell. The body is just literally dirt. It's literally just bones and skin. It doesn't have any redeeming value in it. So I don't think, and I'm not, don't quote me, but I'm just saying personally, I don't think God cares whether you're buried or whether you're cremated. The reason why Christians, some are against cremation, is because it's what the pagans did in the Old Testament, is they would burn the dead. So I'm not going to get cremated. I just think it's weird. I don't really want to be cremated, but I mean, if my family does it, it is what it is. I don't really care, guys. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not going to be looking down at my body. I'm not going to be caring. I'm going to be in glory, dancing on the streets of gold, and who knows what. I'm not going to be worried. But yeah, you got to go by your own conviction. If you're convicted about it, then don't do it. All right. I received the Holy Spirit a long time ago and I haven't felt it in a long time. What do I do? I don't know that the Holy Spirit's necessarily a filling, but I would recommend getting in your prayer closet. I personally believe that the best place to encounter the Holy Spirit or the strongest place to experience him is, yes, of course, at church and times at the altar, there's powerful manifestations, but in the prayer closet. So I would just recommend getting in your prayer closet, getting in the place of prayer and asking the Lord to experience his presence. Experience his presence. Why do most pastors not think prophets are for today? Christina? I wish I knew. Probably the same reason why most pastors don't believe in deliverance. Without trying to bash the American church, I could just speak for the American church. We are so far from the Bible. It's right there in the Bible, yet we still deny it. We still don't believe it. And I don't know, it's sad to me. It's the same reason why we don't pray for the sick. We don't cast out demons. We don't see miracles. And it's just compromise. It's ignorance, it's compromise, it's picking and choosing, it's the traditions of men, it's spirit of religion. I don't think that it's wise to ignore the prophetic, office. All right, we got some questions. I said in the title, nothing's off limits, so I guess that's my fault for saying that. Yeah, some of these are pretty crazy, but I'm going to answer them anyways because we're here. Is it a sin to eat the placenta? I wouldn't do it. I don't know that it's sin, but I think it's wrong. I don't think you should be eating your own body parts. Let's just say it that way. I think that's like cannibalism or something. But yeah, I know people get the placenta and put it into pills. I know. I had family friends that did it, but I personally wouldn't do it. Can you get demons from your spouse? That's a very interesting question. I think that if you are in covenant with God, let me say it this way. If you're in covenant with God, the Bible says it's cannibalism. Okay, Angela backs me up. I'm like, she probably knows more about it. So yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. It's cannibalism. And Angela came out of her and they came out of some crazy stuff. So yeah, listen to what she says. Don't do it. What were we saying? Oh, your spouse. Okay, I think if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says that your spouse who's unholy is made holy because you're holy. Otherwise, how would your kids be holy? So there's something about your righteousness covering them. Not that if you have an unbelieving spouse, they go to heaven if you're saved. That's not what I'm saying. But something about there's a holiness, the Bible says, when you're dating or when you're married, not dating, an unbeliever, that I think you cover them. So I personally think if you're blood-bought, born again, and your spouse has demons, you're not going to get their demons. And I've done a lot of deliverances. I've never encountered someone that had a demon from their unbelieving spouse. You might have demons from the past before you were born again, and you might have got them from them. So say you're both not saved, and then you get a demon from your spouse, and then you get saved. After being saved, full of the Holy Spirit, on fire, I do think you're protected from, like, let's say, getting a demon from your spouse. And I'm talking about you not doing anything to open the door. If you sin, you can still get a demon, even if you're a Christian. Let's be clear on that. But I don't think if you sleep with your spouse, you're going to get a demon. And ladies and men, you should not hold intimacy, because there's kids watching, from your spouse. It is actually against the Bible. The Bible says, do not withhold yourself from your spouse. Do not use intimacy. And you know what I'm saying by intimacy? Okay? Do not use it to weaponize and to say, well, I'm not doing this with you because you didn't do this. The Bible says, don't do that. If you're going to fast intimacy with your spouse, only do it for a short season so Satan can't tempt you guys and then come back together. But your body belongs to him and his body belongs to you. So you got to get that figured out. If you're trying to withhold yourself, ladies, men, from your spouse, it's wrong and it's against the Bible. Does God forgive everything but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? That's the unforgivable sin. Now Jesus tells us what that is. It was when the Pharisees were calling the work of God the work of the devil. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit, saying the Holy Spirit is the devil. Okay, they were saying the Holy Spirit working, because Jesus was casting out demons. The Pharisee said it's the devil he's doing his power by. And then the next thing Jesus says is this is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to be like, what's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us. It's when you see the work of God and call it the devil. That can't be forgiven. I think it's this openly rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is equally God as the Son and the Father. They're all equal in their Godship, in their Godhead. So when you deny and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're actually blaspheming Jesus and the Father also. And if you get to heaven and stand on Judgment Day and God says, you blasphemed me, you rejected me, and you called me the devil. Think about that, okay? So the Pharisees are calling the Holy Spirit the devil, the work of the Holy Spirit the devil. Imagine getting to heaven and God saying, you called me and the Son, the Father and the Son, because you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, they're all equally God. You also blaspheme me. So if you blaspheme Jesus, you're also blaspheming the Holy Spirit and the Father, and vice versa, because they're all connected, they're all one in perfect harmony and perfect unity. So yeah, that's why you can't, for God, Jesus says, I can't even forgive that, because you're denying and blaspheming. All right. How does God look at a baby born through wedlock? Through wedlock. You mean outside of wedlock, I think you mean? I think you mean, how does God look at a baby born outside of wedlock as a normal baby? I don't think there's a curse on that baby. I don't think God looks at the baby as any different. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, if a baby's born out of wedlock, it's a baby. I mean, I don't know what you mean by that question, to be honest with you. Okay, if you're living in faith and you're saved, but you're married to a narcissist and verbally abused, is divorce acceptable? That's a really hard one to say. I believe, the Bible says sexual sin, cheating, adultery is grounds for divorce. If your spouse dies, you're no longer bound to the marriage. And if your spouse abandons you, you can get divorced. So if your spouse abandons you because now you're a believer and they leave the believing husband or wife and abandon you, you can get divorced through abandonment, right? So those are only the only couple ways. Where does it fall in line with, and I have a whole video on Christians getting divorced and why, how you can get divorced and remarried, and go watch it on the YouTube channel because I'm not going to go into detail on it. Where's the line of abuse? I don't know. You have to use your own discretion on that. If you're being sexually abused and physically abused, personally, I don't have a scripture for you, but I would stand by this on my own convictions. Again, this is not scriptural. I'm just, this is Isaiah Saldivar speaking here. I would say you can get divorced if you're getting verbally or sexually abused. Now, verbally abused, I don't know how bad it is. I don't know what it's like. I don't know. But if your husband's laying hands on you, as in hitting you or sexually assaulting you, then yes. To me, that's grounds for divorce. To me. I don't imagine God. Oh, I almost said something, but I won't say it. I don't imagine God being like, you need to stay in that marriage where your husband's beating you and sexually abusing you. So that's where I stand on it. When it comes to verbal, use your own conviction and ask the Lord. He'll reveal it to you. Would you read the Chronicles of Narnia with your kids? Personally, no. I read it growing up as a kid, and there's a lot of magic and witchcraft in it. I know you're like, well, it's Christian, this and that. If I make a Christian book that has a bunch of witchcraft and magic in it and sorcery, and one of the books is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I don't know. I'm gonna get a lot of pushback on that. I would rather be safe than sorry. So no, anything with witchcraft, we don't watch or do. I'm not even gonna open that door. I already know what's behind door number four, witchcraft. I already know. So I'm not opening the door. I've done too many deliverances. I've seen the spiritual realm too much. The Christians that are okay with like magic and witchcraft are Christians that have never seen deliverance. I know that people are like, it's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. There's a big name pastor that's like always talking about Harry Potter's not wrong. Well, sure enough, he doesn't do deliverance. And if he did, he probably would think it was wrong. Am I doomed from backsliding after receiving the Holy Spirit and fornicating multiple times? No, Michael, just repent and stop doing it. You're not doomed to repent and stop doing it. There's grace for you. Just stop. How to pray for a... let's see. Why is Catholicism growing right now? I'll tell you why. You guys ready? I'm going to tell you exactly why Catholicism is growing. The world wants radical. They want dedication. They want to be all in. The American church, I'll just call it the rock star church, the American Church Incorporated, the cool church, the church that wants to be relevant and wants to be cool and wants to put on a show and entertain you. People don't want that. They don't want to leave the world and get what the world has. Are you guys tracking? Somebody say something here. So when they are in the world and then now they want something different and they look at the church and it looks just like the world, this is what they do. They say, okay, I'm coming out of the world. I don't want rock star Christianity because I already had that in the world. I was literally in that lifestyle. So they don't find God in the church, so they find him in the religious sacraments of the Catholic Church. They go, this looks very religious. This looks very, you know, the robes and all the 30 items of worship and all the praying to saints and all the stuff. So they say, we don't want American church rock star, but Catholicism seems very radical, very stuff, religious stuff. So they fall in love with the religion rather than the God of the religion, and they fall in love with praying to Mary and doing all the stuff and the Eucharist and the real presence of God. So what's the answer? Let's actually be the church. Let's actually be radical and let's actually be dedicated. Let's actually not try to be rock star and cool. We're never going to outcool the world. So let's just give up trying. Let's just give them the presence of God. That's what the world can't give them. And so when they don't see that, and I literally heard a testimony of a guy this week why he became a Catholic, and it's the reasons why I'm saying. It's why. They want something that's like real. So we got to give them the real because Catholicism is counterfeit. It's false doctrine. It's false teaching. We just did a video on 7 reasons why Catholicism's false. So go watch that on the podcast live tab. All right. Which disciple would you play pickleball with? Probably John. Oh man, we have guys. I'm sorry. I mean, why am I apologizing? I'm one person. I'm trying to answer thousands of questions. Okay. Answer my question. Stop timing me out and ignoring me. I don't time anybody out. It's the moderators, Christopher. So you're probably spamming the same question. When I see it, I'll answer it. Bro, there's literally 1,700 people in the chat right now and hundreds of people commenting. So yeah, there's that. What exactly is your calling? My calling is to wake up the church. That's my calling. Preach revival, wake up the church, wake up the lukewarm. That's my calling. Train the church. Basically, it's threefold. It's to, did I spill water? No. Save the lost, revive the saved, and equip the saints. That's what I would say my calling is. All right. But yeah, if you at me, like I said, there's hundreds of questions. I have two eyes. I'm one guy. I don't know what to tell you. How to pray for your spouse knowing they abandoned their family and moved on with another person. Ooh, that's rough. That's rough. I mean, you just got to pray for them. I don't know what to say. That's really rough, but you just got to see them how Christ sees them as a broken, lost soul. What does it mean to be anointed with oil? Should I have my husband put canola oil on my head? The oil is just a representation of God's anointing. It's just a symbolic act. Just a symbolic act. So yeah, you can. You can have him anoint you. How did you become saved? Okay, so this is my testimony in 1 minute. Raised in church till I was 16. Graduated high school at 16, got a job and stopped going to church. 19 years old, I was about to turn 20. I was getting hired, going through the hiring process of becoming a deputy sheriff. And was graduating college at 19. Was with a girl for 4 years I planned to marry. Had no desire for God. Didn't go to church for 3 years. My little sister kept begging me, just go to church. I said, fine, I'll go. After 6 months of her begging me, I stepped into a church and said, this will be the last time I ever go to church. God's not real. I don't believe in him. He's fake. And sat there. God, during the altar call, God tugged on my shirt. I ran to the altar. I said, God, I don't believe in you, but if you're real, I'll give you everything. An audible voice spoke out of heaven, said, Isaiah, I have a plan and calling for you. I don't want 99.9% of you. I want all of you. I surrendered my life to Christ, had a born-again experience, started speaking in tongues when I didn't even know what it was. Went home, didn't sleep for 3 days, didn't eat for 2 weeks. A revival broke out at my house where 400 to 500 people were coming to my living room and my house every single week, and I would preach and share my testimony. We'd lay hands and pray for people. Miracles started breaking out. Deliverance started breaking out. I saw thousands of people get saved. All of my family got saved. Literally all of my family, cousins, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, parents, everybody. And we had revival for about a decade. 2019, the Lord said, go online. And I was traveling full-time for 10 years and pastoring full-time. And then I went online and here we are. And God's been moving through the online. We've reached now over 500 million people. And now we're traveling once a month and doing these onlines. I have 4 kids and I've been married for 12 years. All right. Do you believe in celebrities, Christianity? I mean, by definition, celebrity is just someone with a large following. So by definition, I would be a Christian celebrity. I hate using the term. It actually feels gross saying that. But yeah, if you have a large following as a Christian, it's not wrong to have a large following. It's wrong when the light shining on you is greater than light shining through you. So when you become the focal point of people, that's when it's wrong. But it's not wrong to have a large following or a lot of followers. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus had a large following. The disciples had a large following. Thousands got saved in one day. So they had thousands of them following them. And the problem's not the following. It's when you become thinking you're something, since thinking you're someone great and getting wrapped up in that and letting it get to your head. That's the problem. What do you think of the book of Enoch? I haven't read it. I know it's not canon. I know it's historical. I don't think it's wrong to read because the Bible does quote from it, but it's not canon. It's not canon. Should you move to come under a ministry? I mean, if you feel God calling you, Edwin, yeah. If you feel God calling you, God will call you to move. Yeah, absolutely. If you feel called to a ministry and the Lord's saying do it, then pack your bags, brother, because all throughout Scripture, the Lord called people to move. All right. Yeah, tag me, guys. It's at the point now where there's so many questions coming in. You're just going to have to add Isaiah Saldivar because I'm just reading the highlighted ones. I just can't read them all. I'm literally reading them from my computer because my screen chat... If you guys could see my screen chat, because I'm on my phone live right now, it is coming so fast, I'm reading them from the computer that you guys are typing, because it's just craziness. It's coming too fast. All right, why do some people say that God doesn't heal everyone and that claiming healing is part of the prosperity gospel? If they're claiming healing is part of the prosperity gospel, they're ignorant, and they don't know the scripture, because healing is nothing to do with the prosperity gospel. And God, not everybody gets healed, but it's God's desire to heal everybody. I have a whole stream on healing. I have a whole teaching on that. All right. Let's see. How do you know what religion to choose? How do you know what church to go to? Well, Christianity is the only true religion, and there's a lot of reasons. One is the verifiable miracles. Jesus said in John 10, I believe 38, if you don't believe in me, believe in the signs and wonders and miracles that follow me and know that I'm the Father and the Father's in me. So the miracles validate. Two, there's actual evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, including hundreds of eyewitnesses accounts of Jesus, of them seeing Jesus after he died. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, testified that Jesus, a real person, was seen after he died. So verifiably, historically, he did raise from the dead. Three, look at the testimonies that people have. I could go on, I have a whole video on this, but all the millions of testimonies of people encountering Jesus and him changing their life. Four, the Bible is verifiably true as a historical document. Not only that, but there's thousands of prophecies all throughout the Old Testament that line up in the New Testament, and there's no way you can make that up. Over thousands of years, these were all documented and verified to be true. It's just impossible to make all that up. And so, yeah, Jesus is the only one that rose from the grave. Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, they're all dead. None of them rose from the grave. Jesus is the only one that rose from the grave on the third day and is alive forevermore. So yeah, that's why Christianity is the only true religion. But there's a good book called Case for Christ where an atheist tries to prove that God's not real and in turn ends up getting saved and proving God is real. So you can check that out as well. All right, what can I do about my anxiety? I mean, if you feel like it's demonic, seek deliverance. If you feel like you can't control it, seek deliverance. Let's see. Lots of questions coming in, guys. I'm trying. How was the camping trip? It was great. Thanks for asking. We had a great time. I filmed those videos for you guys. And yeah, it was very interesting. I brought my camera gear and I got about an hour of quiet time. And I'm like, I got to hurry up and film this because it was the only time I had. I was going to try to go live, but my internet was cutting out and wouldn't keep a signal. So that's why I couldn't go live. Let's see. Is moving out north call in your plans out of NorCal, North California? No, I don't have any plans to move unless the Lord tells me to. Yeah, we need to be out here in California. It's so bad out here, and we got to have the remnant out here. Okay. If you did dirty things, let's just say that, with a demonic spirit, would they be tied to your soul? I mean, yeah, if you're doing stuff with demons, you definitely have a tie there with them, unlike normal people, so get deliverance. Get deliverance. How to deal with timidity? Ask the Holy Spirit to embolden you and give you courage. Look at the disciples. They were timid, afraid, running for their lives, and then they got the Holy Spirit and they were bold, preaching to thousands. So the Holy Spirit is what, God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. The timidity and the fear comes from the enemy, and power, love, and a sound mind comes from God. So ask the Lord to deliver you from the spirit of fear and timidity and give you a spirit of boldness and power. Okay, let's see here. Is fornication a sin? Yes. If you don't know what fornication is, it's sleeping with someone before you're married. It's 100% a sin, and the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Who do you think the Antichrist and false prophet are? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. All right, let's see. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't think they are. I mean, they wouldn't make bad ones, but I don't think they are. I'm kidding. I have no clue. How do I know if I'm a true believer? Well, is there fruit of your life? Is there fruit of repentance? Is there fruit of a changed life? Is there a relationship with Jesus? Is there a hunger for the word of God? Is there a hunger for prayer? Is there a hunger to know him? Is your faith in what Christ did or in what you're doing? Those are some ways you can tell, but I just look at the relationship with God. Do you have that relationship? That's the most important thing. Can you explain what the silver cord while doing deliverance on somebody? I wouldn't get involved with the silver cord. It's not something that we see scripturally in deliverance. So I personally would never teach on cutting the silver cord or the silver cord because it's not scripturally based. So just stay away from the silver cord type stuff. Will God forgive you? Will God still forgive the sin you struggle with? If you make a practice of sinning, you need to repent and truly ask to be born again, because the Bible says if you practice sin, you're not a son of God, you're a son of the devil. So yeah, if you're making a practice out of it, I would say you need to repent from it and turn from it and ask the Lord to forgive you. But yeah, the God will forgive you, but at some point God's going to say, you keep asking and you're doing it and you're asking for forgiveness. There's no longer blood, the Bible says, left for repentance. What do you do if you pray for somebody and they don't get healed right away? I would say pray again. Jesus prayed for a blind man twice. Don't be discouraged. Don't build a case against God. So don't be like, God, you didn't heal somebody this time. You're not going to heal them next time. I would just pray again. Like if I'm at a conference and it's 2-3 days and somebody doesn't get healed, I'm like, hey, I'll pray with you again tomorrow night. But don't get discouraged and start getting mad at God because the person didn't get healed. Pray again. Jesus prayed twice for somebody, there's nothing wrong with me praying twice for somebody. Are you pre-trib or post-trib? I'm post-trib. I used to be pre-trib. Let me just give you guys my story. I believed in pre-trib. This is my story. This is my testimony. If you don't get mad about this, it's a secondary issue. And I did videos like 7 reasons why pre-trib, right? And if you don't know what pre-trib or post-trib is, pre-tribulation, people believe that you get raptured and then the tribulation starts. So like you wouldn't be here if you're a Christian during the tribulation. Post-trib believe that after the tribulation, 7 years, which would be the worst 7 years in history, we get raptured after the 7 years. We meet Christ in the air, then we return as a heavenly army, which is what the Bible teaches, by the way. All right, oh, my mic's down here, which is what the Bible teaches. I used to be pre-trib. In fact, I didn't just used to be pre-trib. I taught it, and I know this is like embarrassing to say, I, for 4 months, taught every single verse out of the book of Revelation on live stream. It took me 4 months, 12 videos, 12 hours, something like that. It's on my channel. And throughout that time, I was teaching pre-trib. Here's the problem. I had to keep reading the Bible and trying to make it say things that I felt like it should say because I was pre-trib and the Bible isn't pre-trib. So I had to keep saying, for example, when the Christians get martyred in the tribulation in the book of Revelation, I had to keep saying, well, these are the Christians that got saved after the tribulation, which the Bible didn't say that. But because I was pre-trib, I couldn't say these were just Christians that got martyred during the tribulation. I had to keep saying over and over again, these are the ones that were saved after. And I'm like, why do I have to keep saying this? And over and over, it wasn't in there. So here's what happened. I talked to Dr. Michael Brown, who is a scholar, historian, probably one of the greatest theologians that's alive right now. And by God's grace, a friend of mine, a spiritual covering, I would say a spiritual father. And I've literally told him, you can correct me if you see anything I'm saying that's wrong, all that, okay? So I talked to him and said, look, I'm pre-trib. Here's the 7 reasons why. And I know, guys, you might not agree with this, but whatever. And I'm like, if you come on my podcast, I will give you my 7 reasons and you can shred them apart. And if you tear them apart and prove to me biblically why pre-trib is wrong, I will, on my live podcast, convert to being post-trib. And guess what happened? He'd shredded my 7 reasons. I realized it wasn't in the Bible, and I changed my position from pre-trib to post-trib. So now I'm post-trib, and you can watch all that on my channel. Just type in Dr. Michael Brown, and you'll see him coming on talking about post-trib, why I'm post-trib, and yeah. And I know a lot of you are like, well, why would God let us go through suffering? Brothers and sisters, if you're not suffering for Christ, you're in the minority. Most of the world is persecuted for their faith. There are many people right now being tortured and martyred as we speak. As I'm in my air conditioner, I have this very nice fan on me, air conditioned, lit up office. There's men right now being tortured for their faith. So if you think that God isn't going to allow you to suffer or doesn't allow men to suffer, you haven't read the New Testament. Every disciple died for the faith except John. They couldn't kill him, so they banished him to the island of Patmos. So that's the thing. The idea that like God would not, you know, allow us to go through tribulation is completely false and not in the Bible. As far as the wrath of God, we will be protected from that. When God is pouring out his wrath on the earth, we will be protected from that. But we will still go through calamity and billions, if it happened right now, billions of people would die during the tribulation. And you can go watch, I have all the teachings on it. I have literally like lots of hours on Revelation. So that's where I stand on it. Is this going to refresh? Yeah, it's going to refresh. Okay. So can you get a demon from praying for someone? The answer is capital N, capital O. No, you cannot get a demon from praying for somebody. You can get a demon from sinning. Now, here's what might happen, okay? Let me break it down. You might get into a deliverance and you might have a demon in you and you don't even know about it. The demon's hiding because that's what demons do. They're professional hide and seek. So now you go into deliverance, you have a demon you don't know about and you're praying for somebody. Like, I command the demon to leave and you do deliverance on them, which by the way, spoiler alert, you can do deliverance while having a demon. It's not about what you have, it's about what Christ did on the cross and the authority you have in him. What happens is the demon in you reacts, responds to the demon in them. So now you think, so now you cast the demon out of them and now you're manifesting. And you're like, oh my gosh, I just got attacked by their demon. No. You did not get attacked by their demon. You had a demon hiding that got exposed while you were doing deliverance on them. So that's the way that works. You're not gonna get a demon from praying for somebody. You get demons from opening yourself up to sin. Can I do self-deliverance? You can, but it's not easy, it's not very effective, and it's not the biblical way to do deliverance. but you can. I tried when I got saved to do it on myself, and it was ineffective because the demon just kept screaming. So I would highly recommend you going to someone else for deliverance, which we have a deliverance map, deliverancemap.com or IsaiahSaldivar.com/deliverance. You can find someone in your area, contact them through email or text, and they'll meet up with you and pray with you. All right. Have you heard of a tech demon called Boyce? I haven't, but there's literally thousands and thousands of demons' names. Thousands. I know someone that has a list of over 10,000 names of demons. All right. Let's see. How do I find a good church? Well, start by making sure they're spirit-filled. Don't be going to some lukewarm, cessationist church where they say, oh, the gifts aren't for today, the miracles aren't for today. No, don't go to that. Go to a on-fire, spirit-filled church. You can literally Google spirit-filled churches in my area and start reading about them and start trying them out. Go to a different church each week and see where God is telling you to stay. And you'll feel at peace when you get to the right church. You'll feel, you know, God confirming it. So, yeah. Why did you get banned from TikTok? Great question. Great question. I got banned or shadow banned. Actually, I didn't get shadow banned. Let me tell you. I got about 10 community guideline strikes on TikTok. So it wasn't a shadow ban. And then TikTok said, we're going to remove your monetization. Which, by the way, I had, dumb me, but I had about $1,900 from ads on TikTok that I never claimed. Like, they paid me that I just never took any money out. That got frozen as well. But they took away my monetization. I was getting hundreds of thousands of views every single video. And then guess what happened? I started making videos about the Alphabet community agenda. I started talking about Dairy Queens, which if you don't know what that is, that's a drag queen. I started talking about transformers and transgenders and all that stuff and preaching about how it's wrong and you will not inherit the kingdom of God and all that. And then TikTok said, oh yeah, you can't talk about that. And they gave me community guideline strike after strike after strike after strike. Then they permanently deleted my account. And then they said, oh, we'll reinstate you. We made a mistake. And that's that. And that happened to me on Instagram twice as well. I got a bunch of community guideline strikes and I got my account deleted 2 times from getting mass reported by another preacher that was mad that I was making videos about practices he was doing. So he got my account banned permanently twice. Instagram said, you'll never get your account back. I emailed them again. They said, oh, we made a mistake because you were getting mass reported by bots that were fake accounts paid for by another preacher, which is crazy, whole story. And I finally got my Instagram back. But yes, I've gotten demonetized and banned on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And I was restricted on Facebook for 2 years. I'm not even shadow banned, I'm just red restricted on TikTok. I still post there, but I only get like 1,000 to 10,000 views. Sometimes rarely I get more than that. When I was getting literally millions, my third video ever got 15 million views on TikTok. Now I get like hardly no views. And then Instagram, I'm also flagged and demonetized there. So YouTube's the only place that I monetize, which is why I'm always like, thanks for giving, thanks for partnering. If you're not a million partner, become one. Because I could either put it this way. I either have to stop preaching the truth, calling out the demonic, wicked agendas in our world, which I'm going to be doing that again this week. I have a video coming out about the wicked agendas. Or I could stop talking about that and stay monetized and stay making money from all the platforms. Or I could preach the word of God, live by faith and say, hey, support what we're doing because it is what it is. And guess what I'm going to choose? Number 2, keep preaching the truth, keep standing for boldness, and then let the chips fall where they may. I'm not gonna compromise no matter what. That's why we have an emergency email list with 40,000 people in case I get banned. It is what it is. Do you need to make sure you're delivered before you do deliverance on anyone else? You don't have to, but I would. You don't have to be delivered to do deliverance on someone else, but I personally would. But yeah, there's a lot of people that don't even know they need deliverance and then they do deliverance on other people. So yeah. I'll do more of these Ask Me Anything because I'm obviously not answering thousands of these questions, but yeah, it's fun doing this, by the way. I'm enjoying this. I could probably do this for hours and be fine. And Jared and Candace will be going live here in a little bit with prayer and worship. So you guys will get that. I'm just cooking. I got to figure out a way to get noise canceling on this because it's 84 degrees right now in my studio. And I have a wall AC that I just can't turn on because it's too loud. So I'll have to do some testing with the mic and figure out how I can get the AC going because I'm literally soaked in sweat right now. All right. Who is the preacher that got you banned? Somebody deleted the, Brittany deleted the message. It's okay. Should I say? I don't know that I want to say. Let's just say that they are involved in some very shady things and currently being exposed right now by friends of theirs and they're in the dark arts. Let's just say that. They use demonic practices. Let's just say that. If you know, you know. But yeah, they're the ones that got me and a couple of the other Demon Slayers permanently deleted and banned for mass reporting. And yeah, it's sad, but it is what it is. How do you deal with heaviness? Prayer. Prayer, giving your burdens to God. That's how you deal with heaviness. Please stop spamming that. Thank you. I'm just going to time you out just for a little while because you keep spamming that over and over and over again, and it's taking up the whole chat. Okay, so just 1 minute timeout there. Don't keep spamming that. Thank you. But yeah, prayer is the best way. There's no way around it. You got to give your burdens to Christ. If you're heavy, Jesus said, give me your heavy burdens, and you give them to him in prayer. Is miscarriage a spirit? I don't think it's necessarily, well, it could be. It could be a spirit, but I do believe demons cause and can cause miscarriages. Not every miscarriage. Some of them are natural, medical. But yes, I've encountered demons that were causing miscarriages, and I encountered one lady that had like 3 or 4 in a row, got delivered, never had another one again. So yes, demons can be in the womb, curses, generational curses that can cause that. All right, people who say they're Christian, but at the same time support the alphabet community and abortion, are they going to heaven or hell? I can't say who's going to heaven or hell. I'll just say, if you support a perverted agenda, like the alphabet community, that's, you know, you guys know what that is, or the abortion agenda, which is baby murder, child sacrifice, demonic altars of Moloch, then you are not a genuine Christian. And if you're not a genuine Christian, you're not going to heaven. So there's the answer to that. You can take that how you want to take that. All right, let's see what else you guys got for me. Oh, and by the way, guys, I'm not talking about Daniel Adams. For those of you asking, is it Daniel Adams? No, I'm not talking about Daniel Adams. The person I'm talking about is friends with him, but is not him. Who's your favorite of the 12 apostles and why? John. And that's because my favorite book is the book of Revelation and my other favorite book is the book of John. So John's my favorite. And it's my favorite gospel. Even though it's not a synoptic gospel, it's my favorite gospel. What is the thin place? Is it biblical? I heard a term at church. I have no clue. I've never heard of the thin place. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the thin place is. Trader Joe's? Who knows? How can I pray deliverance for my wife who has the same nightmares? Good question, Jose. Go to my channel. I think it's 13 minutes or 14 minutes and watch 7 steps to casting out demons or how to cast out demons for beginners. I have a short video that gives you 7 steps on how to do deliverance. Watch that video and then go for it, brother. Go for it. How often do you get your hair cut? Every single week. I just got it cut on Monday. I get it cut every week. Your teaching through John was fire. Thank you, Shane. Okay, tag me, guys. I'm only going to answer questions where you go at Isaiah Saldivar just because they highlight and the rest don't. Why are you and Daniel Adams not associated any longer? I said ask me anything. Nothing is off limits, so I will answer this, even though I know people are going to clip it and post it and all that. Couple reasons. One is ministry practices. The way he practices deliverance and deliverance ministry, I don't agree with. When it comes to hitting people, I believe also pushing people and other things, I don't agree with, and I think it's abusive and wrong. And then the second reason is people he's associated with, I personally believe are flat out witch doctors and warlocks. Some of the people he's associated with, I won't mention names. So for those two reasons, we parted ways. And that's as much as I'll say about it. That was, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half ago, and I bless him, I pray for him, and I hope he's doing amazing, but I am no longer associated with him. I took all the streams down of us together, and we don't do ministry together anymore, because I can't compromise on those things. So I can't compromise when I see stuff behind the scenes with ministries, not specifically his, but other people he's associated with, that's wrong, that will not get called out, will not get corrected, and people are brushing over that I think are abusive and wrong. I just can't handle that, and I can't compromise for that. So that's that. All right, why do people have sleep paralysis? I believe oftentimes sleep paralysis is demonic, and the reason why I believe that is because a lot of times some people can't say the name Jesus. So if it's just a natural phenomenon, why is Jesus the only name that's hard to say? I think sleep paralysis is often demonic, and science and all that try to give a reason for it, but I don't believe that's the case. Can miracles like Moses parting the Red Sea still happen, or how Paul's shadow healed people? Good question. So it wasn't Paul's shadow, it was Peter's. And then to add to that, Peter's shadow actually didn't heal people. So if you go read They thought Peter's shadow was healing people, so they laid people on the street so that even Peter's shadow passing by might heal them. But it's interesting that we always keep saying, like, even Peter's shadow. And I preached it for years. I preached that Peter's shadow would heal people for years. And then I read the Bible. I'm like, oh, it doesn't say that. Actually, I found it out when I was going through my Book of Acts deep dive, where I taught every verse out of the Book of Acts. And I realized it didn't say Peter's shadow healed people. It's that they thought he did. So they would lay people down so that he would pass them by and they would get healed. So it was more like they believed that and they were desperate, but the Bible doesn't actually say it does. So that's that. Yes, miracles still happen. If you might be talking about Acts 19, unusual miracles, handkerchiefs, all that. Yes, people, that still happens. But parting the Red Sea, yeah, God can do it. That was a very special miracle that God did to get people to escape. And yes, God can still do those type of miracles. As far as Prophet Lovey is concerned, I am not an advocate or a promoter of his ministry. And I think there is a lot of false stuff that he teaches, a lot of wrong doctrine in his teaching, without going into a lot of detail and without making, you know, I'm not going to make an exposed video on him, but I think he teaches a lot of things that I would consider to be heresy. So yeah, would never recommend his content to people or advocate for him. And he is one of the reasons why me and Daniel are no longer associated. One of the reasons. There was others, but that was one. So there's that. And the reason why I'm telling you guys this, because the title is literally Ask Me Anything, and so I'm not going to dodge questions. It is what it is. You guys can agree with me or don't. Doesn't matter. That's where I'm at. I have to live by my own convictions and stand before God on who I partner with, so I don't have to tell you. All right, we're going to go a couple more minutes here, and then you guys can give. The links to give are in the comments, and monthly partner, you'll get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, past partners calls, and future invites to the Monday at noon partner call or prayer call. Every week we meet at noon to pray on Zoom. So you get invited to that and you'll get an email, sign up on my website. It really helps us because, again, we're demonetized everywhere except for YouTube. All right, let's see what else. I was just in Washington about a month ago. I am sweating so bad. This is crazy. Oh, man, so many things. What do you think of Cliff? Is it Neckley? I don't know much about him. I saw the interview he did with Bryce, clips of it. I think he's cool. I think his stuff's cool. I don't know much about him, but I would definitely think it'd be interesting to have him on the podcast because it would be, you know, we're both very different. So I don't know. But I don't know enough about him. All right, so many questions. I don't really know much about Ed Citronelli, so I can't say. Do you visit theme parks with your family sparingly? We go to like Santa Cruz Boardwalk, which has like rides and stuff, but we don't do Disneyland or like, I guess the main ones, like I guess Disneyland's the main one, right? We don't do Disneyland because not only do they support a lot of woke agendas and stuff like the alphabet community and they take pride in hiring. Well, I don't even want to go into it. It's dark, dark, dark. If you go down the rabbit hole of the people that Disney hires, it's very, very dark. But yeah, I don't want to support or promote that. And then also they have tons of magic and witchcraft in most of their movies and shows. You guys already know all of Disney has gone woke. All the shows are two dads, two moms. They've redesigned everything and made it very, very woke. So yeah, Disney is, we don't have to even, it's no secret. They're just openly demonic about a lot of stuff they do. So I don't support them. David Deger Hernandez is a friend of mine. He's been on my show several times. I've been on his show. He's a friend. All right. What do you think about getting baptized twice? There's nothing wrong with it. If you got baptized and then you turn from God and you want to get rebaptized just to commit your life afresh to the Lord, there's nothing wrong with it. It's proclaiming something powerful. So yeah, I have nothing bad to say about getting baptized a second time. Can women preach? Yes. Of course they can. Of course they can. Is being in a homosexual romantic relationship sin if it's not sexual? Yes. 1,000% if you are in a homosexual relationship, even if it's not romantic, you are in sin. Men with men, women with women, 1,000% you're in sin. I have no other way to say it. Where's the line for faith taps or physical involvement with prayer? You don't need to tap people. God doesn't need your help. There's no reason why you should be hitting people, pushing people, tapping people. Faith taps, where's that in the Bible? Like, oh, God told me to hit somebody. Okay. God told you to abuse somebody? That's crazy. What do you think of Angela Scafidi, formerly Uchi? She's awesome. Check out Heaven and Healing Podcast. She'll be on our podcast again soon. Her and her husband are both amazing, cutest baby, great people. But yeah, you don't need to hit people. God doesn't need your help. You don't need to push. You don't need to press. You don't need to hit. None of that. None of that. It's crazy. So yeah, faith taps. That's the fact that you even said faith taps. Why are we making that a doctrine? Why is faith tap even a thing? Why does God need you to tap somebody? Like, it's crazy. Is it okay to send nudes to your spouse? Wow, we are really answering everything. I don't know. I have no clue. I literally have never had the thought in my life. So, chat, what do you think? I have no clue. Maybe the chat can answer. I don't know. That's a good question. I have no clue. I have no clue. You're the goat. Thank you. No, I haven't seen cutting Anton LaVey's silver cord. I haven't seen that. What kind of workouts do you do? I do like circuit training, just like doing, you know, 5 or 6 different muscles. I was doing it every day. I haven't been recently, but I'm going to get back into it and try to. But yeah, I'm not doing like crazy heavy lifting or anything serious like that. I just built a little home gym and I'm just doing it at home. Just trying to stay in shape. I'm not trying to get, you know, Stephen Furtick out here and get all yoked up. All right, we're going to go for just like a couple more minutes. Have you ever fallen out in the spirit? Yes. Yes. And I apologize, guys, I'm sweating. I have fallen out in the spirit a few times, but it's not something that happens to me often. Is your ministry open to discipleship? Not really right now. I just don't have the time to disciple people, Edwin. If I did, you'd be the first one that I did discipleship with, bro. But yeah, just right now where I'm at, my disciples are my kids and stuff. So it's just hard because I just don't have the time to disciple people like that. Okay, just like 1 or 2 more and then we'll hang out. Well, I guess we'll just keep hanging out. If you guys want to give, you can give. I guess now you can start giving. It's there in the description in the comments. If you're blessed tonight, you enjoyed the stream. We will have regular guests next week and the week after and then regular streaming. But it was good changing it up, right? Not doing a podcast, changing it up. I've been having fun with this. Why are you sweating? Because my office is 84 degrees. I have an AC in the window. Well, I have a regular AC, but it doesn't get cold enough. I have an AC in the window and it's too loud. Actually, I'm gonna turn it on. I'm not even gonna turn it on, it's too loud. And so because I'm on my phone, I don't have my mic. This is my regular mic that has the noise cancellation. I don't have that on here because I just connected this. So if I turn it on, it's gonna be like, super loud. So I'm sweating because it's 84 degrees in here. Have you heard of Earthquake Cali? I haven't. I had an unwanted thought about Jesus saying he is evil. Does that count as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? No, but you probably need deliverance if you're getting blasphemous thoughts like that. What does the love of God feel like? I don't know. It's hard to explain. I guess just acceptance and knowing that you have value and you have a purpose. I don't know. It's probably not that loud. Do you guys want me to turn it on and see? Here. Tell me if you can hear this. Tell me if you guys can hear the AC. Ready? It's literally picking up in my mic so loud. I can see it on my little monitor. So many questions coming in. What's the best way to get rid of witchcraft items like crystals and candles? Throw them out or burn them? Yeah, you can hear it. It's loud. Yeah, it's loud. Not that much. It's loud. Not bad. I hear it. Okay. Whatever. I'm getting off in literally 5 minutes. So, and at 7:30, we're going to be going over Jared and Candace's channel. When I end the stream, it'll redirect you if you have autoplay on. If not, you guys can post a link. I can't because I'm on my phone. So you guys can post it in the chat. How can I glorify God at school? Dude, just bring your Bible, Daniel. Bring your Bible around with you. Bring it to lunch and people will ask you about it. And you can start sharing your faith. But just bringing your Bible gives that representation of, you know, you're a Christian and it makes people think and talk and it's a good conversation starter. So yeah, go ahead. Bring your Bible. That could help out. Keep the AC on. Noise isn't that bad. All right. Thanks, Pyrex. I wouldn't do it for a whole stream and I'll get it all figured out with the noise cancellation. But yeah, I'm using a different mic. So we'll see. We'll figure it out. A friend says she hears Jesus' voice 24/7. Is it possible? I would ask her what she means by she hears it. Is it audible? Is it a whisper? Is it like her own thoughts? I would have to ask more questions. How do you know if some prophets are false if they're moving in power like Benny Hinn? Power says nothing about whether you're false or not. God can move because people are hungry even if somebody's false. So yeah, I wouldn't measure power. I would measure character. I wouldn't measure gifting. I'd measure fruit. So the gifts of the Spirit are given without repentance. The fruits of the Spirit are cultivated. So I look at people's fruit, right? Okay, so for example, I look at how they treat their husband, how they treat their wife, how they treat their kids, how they treat the waiter. Guys, I have gone to dinner with some of the most powerful preachers, air quotes, and they don't know how to treat the waiter. They're rude to the waiter. They're terrible people. They're just terrible people. Their kids don't like them. Their wife doesn't want to be around them. They're most powerful anointed preachers. And I'm like, bro, you have no fruit. You have gifts, but you don't have fruit. So I don't want to be that. I don't want to be gifted with no fruit. I want to have the fruit. I want to have the fruit. I'm a Christian, but I've never audibly heard the voice of God. What's up with that? That's fine. The voice of God is usually a still small whisper that comes from within. So if you haven't heard him audibly, that's totally fine. Have you tarried before? Do you mean like wait when I pray, like continue to pray until God shows up? Yeah. Thoughts on Geno Jennings? I have no clue. I haven't watched his stuff. Oh man, this thing is just going crazy here. All right, let's see. A couple more. Again, guys, we have 5 more minutes. If you want to give, give now. It would really help us to keep going. The giving link's there. If you're not a monthly partner, pray about becoming one on the website, and you'll get the 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and the Monday at noon prayer call invite. So monthly partner, if you're not, talk to your husband, talk to your wife, and say, hey, let's partner with this ministry every month. You can do that on the website right there. Thank you guys for giving. There's Cash App as well. It's all in the description. The mods have posted it. There's Zelle, Venmo. I don't have it on screen, but the mods are posting it in the comments. If you want to give, you can find a way to give. Just go to the description. And thank you so much for becoming members here. Fabian, Bronze, thank you. Do you do Instagram Lives and bring guests on? Bro, I've never done an Instagram Live, maybe once before. So I don't know. My biggest audience is YouTube, so I'd just rather go live on YouTube. What if your loved one needs deliverance but doesn't want it? They have to want it. You can't force deliverance on somebody. It's like salvation, they have to want it. How can somebody be anointed, preach, but rude to a waiter? I don't know. I just, yeah. Anyways, I don't want to go on that anymore. What's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy? Old Testament prophecy was more declaring judgment and future events. New Testament prophecy is building up, encouraging, and exhorting. So yeah, those are the differences. New Testament is encouragement, and it's edification, and it's giving people words that are edifying. Old Testament was judgment, doom, future events, and stuff like that. And they do cross over sometimes in the New Testament, but for the most part, New Testament is exhortation, edification, encouragement, stuff like that. Is it okay to refuse to have a relationship with family members, like my brother, sister, mom, and so on? It's probably okay, but it's probably not the best thing if you're trying to witness to them and share your faith with them. If they're causing you to sin or stumble, keep your distance and distance yourself. Jesus said, who is my brother but those that do the will of my Father? But I would also say if you want to witness to them, probably separating yourself completely is not the best way to do it. She says it's a physical audible voice and it even makes jokes about people around her. Ugh, if the voice of Jesus is physical and audible 24/7 and it jokes about people, it's probably a demon. I'm just saying, I've never heard anybody say, I heard Jesus audibly 24/7, and then he makes fun of people. I don't see Jesus making fun of people like that, so it's probably a demon, not Jesus. And demons do say that they are Jesus, and they do pretend to be Jesus and mock and all that stuff. All right, 2 more minutes, and Jared and Candace are going live. As soon as they go live, we're going to end the stream. I love you all so much. We will be live maybe this week, praying in tongues, but we'll have videos filmed this week and figure it out. We'll for sure be live Monday, all right? Advice for a clothing brand? I just use print on demand. I used to ship everything and print it myself. But my advice, and not to be rude, if you're not willing to put a lot of money into like marketing and advertising and you don't have a large following, don't waste your time doing clothing. Because it's just gonna be, you're gonna sell a shirt to a friend or family. You'll sell like 10 shirts and that'll be it. But if you're gonna like try to start a company, we're gonna do like branding and advertising and marketing and spend all that money to start a legit company. That's not really what I do. I just have a large following. And so people that follow me buy the merch because it's stuff like this, Born Again, RevivalLifestyleApparel.com. It's good Christian clothing, starts conversation, but if I didn't have a large following, I wouldn't have merch, because who's gonna buy it, really? So that would be my recommendation. I know a lot of people start merch stores, spend a lot of time, energy, they sell 10 shirts, and then they close their store. Do you baptize in Jesus' name? I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus. Because in one part of the Bible, it says to baptize in the name of Jesus, and another part, it says they baptize in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they're all the same. God is not looking down being like, well, that one didn't count because you said the name wrong. They're all equal. So whether you baptize in Jesus' name or Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. They're all equally God. You're fine. Religion says it matters if you say Jesus or you say the Holy Spirit or you say the Father. Relationship doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Do demons always lie if you ask them questions? No, usually they don't lie. In fact, there's nowhere in the scripture where a demon lied. Usually they'll tell you the truth. Sometimes they will, but usually they tell the truth. But they can. And they do sometimes, but for the most part, they tell the truth. Are we in the last 7 years right now? No, I don't think we're in the tribulation. What's your love language and your wife's love language? I don't know them all, to be honest. Will we have Tiffany Montgomery on your show? I don't know who that is, but I will look her up. Have you ever been to the Holy Spirit conference at Hungry Gen? Well, this was the first year they did that one. Usually it's a deliverance conference. So no, I haven't been. What's a good Bible to read? I read the King James. I like the NLT, New Living Translation, ESV, English Standard Version, and the New King James Version. All right. How can I bring revival to my Baptist family? Have a prayer meeting. Bro, literally, put on worship music, invite all your Baptist family to your house, and pray and start asking God to move and start laying hands and believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. That's the best way to do it. Okay? Ooh, I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Thank you, Lord, that nobody... Ooh, okay, thank you, Lord, nobody called me because usually it would end live. All right, Jared and Counsel will be live in 1 minute countdown here. So the moment they go live, I will end the stream. I love you guys. Thank you for giving and partnering. I know we didn't have a podcast, but still, please so. It does help us out. This is basically... These two streams a week keep us going to do this full time. So your financial support does help. Thank you. I don't know John Anasike. I don't know who that is. All right. Is it okay to merge your spirit with the Holy Spirit? I mean, when you get the Holy Spirit, your spirit is merged with the Holy Spirit. Can a believer still deceived even if he has the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you can still be deceived even if you have the Holy Spirit. What do you think about Christians that don't go to church? You're at a massive disadvantage if you're not part of a local body. You're at a massive disadvantage. What would you say to your younger self? I would say, it's all going to work out, brother. Look at what the Lord has done. It's all going to work out. Don't stress. I would say don't stress. Because I dealt with stress for a long time, and I would just say, don't stress. It's all going to work out. God's in control. Don't worry about what people think. This too shall pass. That's what I would say. Would you do a podcast with George Janko? I would go on his show if he invited me. I think it'd be interesting to talk about deliverance with his audience, and it's an interesting topic. It's biblical, and I know a lot about it. So yeah, I think it'd be interesting to get on and do deliverance podcast with him or talk about deliverance on his podcast. But I don't know if I would have him on mine just because I don't know what I would interview him on, and there's still stuff that I just... that he talks about or promotes that I wouldn't want to promote on my channel. So yeah, probably wouldn't have him on. Why don't you keep the Sabbath according to the fourth commandment? Who said I don't keep the Sabbath? What do you mean when you say give your life to Christ? Does it mean quit your job and become a preacher? No, it means lay your life down and say, God, whatever I'm doing, I'll do anything you want me to do and then continue on. So God might tell you to keep your job and keep this and keep that, but it's just saying, Lord, my life is in your hands now. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh, Jared and Candace are live. Jared and Candace are live. I didn't realize it. Sorry. I had them on, but it was muted. I love you guys so much. One's in the chat. I love you guys. Tonight was great. Please, mods, post the link. There we go. This is where we're going. The mods just posted the link. Can I copy this? Yeah, I can. I can. The very thing that... I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. We'll do this more often. It was really fun, and I can do this all day with you guys. I really could do this for hours. That's where we're going. Go there now, and when I end, it's going to redirect you there if you have your autoplay on. Thank you for partnering, sowing, and giving. I answered as many questions as I could. I probably got through 30, I don't know, 25, 20, 30, a lot. We'll do more of these, okay? I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for giving and partnering. I'll send you your email tonight. Salute, soldiers. Love you guys. See you in the next video. Go to Jared and Candace's now.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.